Earth and Sky.
For myself, growing up, I was, you know, very familiar with all the amazing things that humans have been able to develop. But nature makes beautiful things, beautiful structure, without even thinking about it. And for me, this recognition of how beautifully structured the natural environment is a basis for my hope that we can preserve it well into the future.
You're listening to Princeton Earth Scientist Daniel Sigman, and this is Earth Sky's Clear Voices for Science. Dr. Sigman won a 2009 MacArthur Genius Grant for his work on tracking ocean nitrogen. He spoke with Earth Sky's Beth Lebwohl about how the collective activity of many tiny ocean creatures has had a big impact on Earth's temperatures in the past and present, and how it may continue into the future.
You say that ocean's nitrogen cycle affects climate past, present, and future. What is the ocean's nitrogen cycle?
Algae require nitrogen to grow, to use sunlight, to make their bodies. And their bodies, in turn, fuel the rest of the ocean food web.
How does the ocean's nitrogen cycle affect climate on Earth?
If you imagine more organic matter being produced in the world's ocean surface waters and sinking into the deep ocean, that means more carbon removal from the atmosphere, and that means a lower concentration of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere. Now, we think carbon dioxide is a greenhouse gas. That is, it traps the outgoing Earth light, the outgoing radiation from the Earth's surface, and keeps it in the atmosphere, and this acts to warm the environment. So lower carbon dioxide in the atmosphere, cooler climate.
So more stuff in the ocean, if that means that they're cooling down Earth, is that what it is?
More carbon is being taken out of the surface ocean and the atmosphere with which it's trying to equilibrate, and stuffs it into the deep ocean. So that means a lower concentration of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere and cooler climate.
Okay. Now, the more productive the surface waters, does that mean that there's more nitrogen around?
To have more productive surface waters, there are several ways to do this from the perspective of the nitrogen cycle. One is to have more nitrogen in the ocean, and that's number one. And number two is to more completely consume the nitrogen that's supplied to the surface ocean.
Okay, interesting. So you found something that you did not expect. And that thing was that in the polar oceans during ice ages, somehow the nitrogen uptake by organisms like algae was somehow incredibly efficient. Is that correct?
That's correct. So one of the great mysteries in climate science is what causes the cycle of what we know as ice ages and interglacial periods. We currently live in an interglacial period. About 20,000 years ago, the Earth was in an intense ice age. And about 110,000 years ago, we were in an earlier interglacial that is warm, like current conditions are warm. There are these cycles between these warm periods and cold periods over the last 3 million years. And we don't really understand why they occur and why they're as severe as they are. One part of the explanation is that carbon dioxide concentrations are lower during ice ages. But we don't know why carbon dioxide concentrations are lower during those periods. And so one of the key questions that I'm trying to answer is why was carbon dioxide lower during ice ages, and why does it increase into interglacial periods? The nitrogen cycle may well hold the answer to that question. It may have been that there was more nitrogen in the ocean during ice ages. Alternatively, it may be that algae were more completely consuming nitrogen in surface waters during ice ages. Either of those changes would have meant a stronger biological pump, more carbon taken out of surface waters and stuffed into the deep ocean, and thus a lower concentration of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere.
How does that tell us about the future?
Weather models are used in the weather forecasts that many of us rely on every day, and they work quite well for their purpose. One of the reasons that these models work so well is they've been tested repeatedly against data, against observations. Every day, the weather model makes a prediction, and every day, weather occurs and provides a test of that prediction. This has allowed the models to be improved over time. With regard to climate models, what can we possibly look at? We have direct observations of Earth's climate only over the last 200, 300 years. We have some additional observations going back further into Earth history, into human history. But to provide many tests for climate models, we need to go far back into Earth history to look at very different climates and provide these as tests for the models.
Using to the best of your scientific knowledge, how is the ocean going to behave as global warming accelerates? And how will that affect climate?
The prediction from climate models under the conditions of global warming has been that the ocean circulation will decrease in rate, especially in the part of the ocean circulation that involves the deep ocean. The data that we have for the last ice age may suggest that we should expect the opposite pattern into the global warming future, with polar ocean circulation actually accelerating. We don't yet know what this will mean for ocean biology, for climate, and even for carbon dioxide fluxes. But to the degree that we want to have full information on where the Earth is going, we need to explore this further.
Okay, now let me draw this back to you. In other words, it's possible that the ocean is going to speed up. There's going to be more algae using more nitrogen and absorbing more CO2, and the ocean will actually cool the Earth at an increased rate.
Okay, I'm going to try to say that's not quite right, but let me try to explain where you're going.
Okay.
If indeed the polar ocean regions increase their circulation into the future, one strong possibility is that the polar oceans will be able to absorb the carbon dioxide that humans have put into the atmosphere somewhat more rapidly than we otherwise would have expected. Now, this is actually quite complicated. We have many other things to consider here. We don't know how ocean biology will respond to that change in ocean circulation. And this may mean that the ocean takes up carbon dioxide more quickly and may mean that it takes it up somewhat more slowly. So the point is, we're not exactly sure what this will do to carbon dioxide concentrations, but this is the starting point.
I guess climate change is in some ways kind of a crapshoot. You know, we just don't know. It's kind of too soon to call it.
I'm not going to let you say that.
Okay, go ahead. Tell me how I'm wrong.
Okay. As humans emit carbon dioxide into the atmosphere, the simplest and most robust understanding that we have of the physics of the atmosphere tells us that warming will occur. We don't yet know how much warming will occur, and we are just beginning to think about the secondary effects of that warming. Some people argue that our uncertainty means that we should not take this problem seriously. I see it in the opposite way. Because of this uncertainty, we may have somewhat less warming than we're currently predicting, but we also might have much, much more. And the latter case of more warming than we currently expect could have very deleterious effects on large numbers of people. And we need to have some insurance against that possibility.
You've been listening to Princeton University Earth Scientist Daniel Sigman. Dr. Sigman won a 2009 MacArthur Genius Grant for his work on tracking ocean nitrogen, which his research shows connects to past natural changes in climate. To subscribe to this and other free science podcasts, visit the subscribe page at earthsky.org. I'm Deborah Bird. Earth Sky is a clear voice for science.
We're at earthsky.org.